The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition. Well,
one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the herb.
Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator. Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Friday, November 12th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the weekend. We've got 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community coming up for you today. All sorts of great stuff. Our hemp headlines followed by our 420 break for the East Coast, our daily toker tunes, which today we've got some Rockin' Friday music from our newest music editor, Herb Thrasher, who will be calling in later on to give us some great rockin' music from The Sword. At half past the hour, we're going to preview a milestone, High Times issue number 420. I've got it right here in my hands. High Times issue number 420 is hitting the newsstands, and West Coast editor Dave Bienenstock is going to join us to talk all about it. And at the end of the show, I've got a little radical rant on the possible election of Attorney General Steve Cooley and a look at how the Stoners Against Legalization might have helped that effort. Now, you may notice I've been a little short on the intros, and that is because I am running the show solo today. Ganja John is not here. Yeah, I know. Ganja John is not here today. He is in the hospital having, well, shall we say, the tube removed. We won't go any further than that, but he's having the tube removed, so he won't be able to join us today. And Cannabis Carrie is unfortunately not with us either. Yeah, I know. Cannabis Carrie is not with us because they've got roofers at her home that are pounding on the roof, and it's making terrible noise, and you just wouldn't be able to hear her anyway. So I'll be taking the news duties for today. Also, in hour two, Toker Talk Radio of Normal Show Live, we'll be playing some of our favorite songs and taking your calls at 971-533-7111. So stay tuned. It's Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. You can find us on our blog at stash.normal.org. Follow me on Twitter at Radical Russ, Cannabis Carry at Cannabis K-A-R-R-I, and Ganja John at Ganja J-O-N. We're right back with your headlines. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gone. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again first of the month.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Cannabis Carry can't be with us today for the news, so I'm Russ Belville with your hemp headlines. California Republican Steve Cooley leads in the race for Attorney General. This out of Sacramento, California. Republican candidate Steve Cooley leads Democrat Kamala Harris by some 9,500 votes in the state's yet-to-be-decided race for state attorney general, the East Bay Express website reported Wednesday afternoon. I have updated figures from the California Secretary of State's office showing that Steve Cooley has widened his lead to about 20,000 votes over Kamala Harris. Cooley had significantly widened his lead over Harris earlier this week, but Harris recently gained some 35,000 votes after state officials counted late absentee and provisional ballots from Alameda County. The paper reports that the race could go on for two more weeks as officials continue to tabulate tens of thousands of late absentee and provisional ballots. The contest for California Attorney General has significant implications for the distribution of medical cannabis in California, as Cooley has previously pledged to prosecute dispensaries that engage in over-the-counter cash sales of marijuana to authorized patients. In October, while serving as Los Angeles District Attorney, Cooley declared that state law bars sales of medical marijuana and opined, quote, "The vast, vast, vast majority, about 100% of dispensaries in Los Angeles County and the city are operating illegally. They are dealing marijuana illegally. The time is right to deal with this problem," end quote. State guidelines issued under former Attorney General and now Governor-elect Jerry Brown in 2008 authorized the distribution and nonprofit sales of medical cannabis in California by qualified collectives and cooperatives, but warned that storefront businesses that engage in the for-profit sales of medical marijuana, quote, "are likely operating outside the protections," end quote, of state law. Cooley has long maintained that California dispensaries that engage in over-the-counter sales to customers do not meet a legal definition of collectives or not-for-profit entities. By contrast, San Francisco District Attorney Kamala Harris has previously voiced strong support for protecting the legal rights of patients who use cannabis medicinally. This will be the subject of my radical rant coming up at 45 past the hour. I've got a whole bunch more to say on this one. In other news from California, the Los Angeles City Council may backtrack on dispensary closures. The Los Angeles City Council is considering a measure that would allow about 140 medical marijuana dispensaries that were forced to close to reopen. The Los Angeles City Council passed a city ordinance in June to curb the growing number of dispensaries allowed to operate in the city. Almost 450 dispensaries were sent cease and desist letters and forced to close their doors. The plan was to leave in place the 180 dispensaries that had registered with the city since before a 2007 moratorium was passed. Since 2007, wrangling between the City Council, the L.A. County Sheriff's Department, and the L.A. District Attorney Steve Cooley led to a failure of enforcing the 2007 moratorium or working out rules and regulations to govern this growing economic force of marijuana distribution centers. But with the moratorium back in place and the new rules for the remaining 180 dispensaries, only 40 of them qualified under the new guidelines, leaving a large population of Los Angeles' medical marijuana users to head back to the black market. Most of the dispensaries sent the letters have closed their doors, and the economic impact has become visible. Eagle Rock, an area that emerged as the epicenter of neighborhood activism against dispensaries, was once ringed with shops that have since closed down. Most closures were volunteer, but many were closed after police force teams raided the businesses, confiscated cash, equipment, and medical marijuana. An unknown number of dispensaries are now operating underground or providing a quasi-legal delivery service for medical marijuana patients. Several lawsuits are pending challenging the ordinance, and the city is set to spend big dollars defending the proposition. Defending the position. The Los Angeles City Council is now considering a vote to change one rule in the ordinance that disqualified many of the 140 dispensaries that were opened before the moratorium. That rule said they would be disqualified if they had any management changes over the last 3 years. Under the new proposal, the dispensaries could reopen if they have at least one primary owner or manager from the initial registration, leaving a small crack for many to requalify. The amendment, introduced by Councilman Paul Koretz, says dispensaries could remain open or reopen if they have substantially the same ownership or management. The lawyers representing many of the dispensaries will be following this vote very closely. And of course, you know, backtracking to the story previous to this with Steve Cooley from Los Angeles becoming the Attorney General, it may be a moot point as to whether or not the LA City Council allows some of these 140 dispensaries to remain open if Cooley is just going to shut down all of them statewide. In Arizona, Proposition 203 still trails in the latest vote count. Phoenix, Arizona, Proposition 203, a proposed statewide ballot measure to permit state-registered patients to obtain cannabis legally from licensed facilities, continues to trail by an estimated 3,000 votes as of Wednesday afternoon. As of press time, state officials still say the outcome remains too close to call. Arizonans have twice before, in 1996 and in 1998, voted in favor of medical marijuana ballot measures, though neither proposal was ever enacted by the legislature. This year's proposal was sponsored by the Arizona Medical Marijuana Policy Project, an affiliate of the Marijuana Policy Project. If passed, Arizona would become the 15th state since 1996 to authorize the use of medicinal cannabis to qualified patients, and the 10th to do so via voter initiative. Now, this is an unfortunate setback here in Arizona. This is one is so close to call, because when we look back to 96 and 98, these were slam dunk wins for medical marijuana in the state of Arizona that were only held up through their legislature and some language problems with the word prescription versus recommendation. So to see the support fall so far in the span of 15 years, 14 years, 12 years, something like that, to see it fall so far from slam dunk 65% level support to just below 50% and still fighting to pass is a very sad sign in the politics of medical marijuana. Now, we could point to all sorts of issues or reasons that this may be the case, but we also need to look at the politics of the state of Arizona and whether or not other issues, like perhaps the support for the governor Jan Brewer there and the anti-immigration backlash in the state of Arizona, may have led more conservative voters to the polls and thus doomed the chances for Prop 203. It's also worth looking at as to whether or not the way Prop 203 was worded turned off many potential supporters, perhaps those who support the right to home grow, who were turned off by the notion of the 25-mile halo rule, which said if you lived within 25 miles of a dispensary, you could not grow your own medicine. Other considerations are whether or not the restrictions at the dispensaries meant to control patient access by electronically tracking how much they're purchasing, limiting those purchases to a couple of ounces every 2 weeks, may have also turned off some supporters. And, of course, there remains to be seen how much the impact of sexual scandal allegations early in January at the Marijuana Policy Project may have led to less support within Arizona for the measure overall. New Jersey legislators say proposed medical marijuana regulations violate the intent of the law. Trenton, New Jersey. Members of the Senate Health, Human Services, and Senior Citizens Committee and the Assembly Regulatory Oversight and Gaming Committee voted this week in favor of concurrent resolutions to repeal proposed regulations for the state's yet-to-be-implemented medical cannabis program. In October, New Jersey Department of Health officials released draft regulations regarding the implementation of the state's Compassionate Medical Marijuana Act, which was signed into law in January. The proposed rules limit the manufacture of medical cannabis to 2 licensed facilities, restrict the percentage of THC that may be present in the plant to no more than 10%, and limit the varieties of legally available cannabis to no more than 3 strains. 4 additional state-licensed facilities would be permitted to dispense cannabis. Under the yet-to-be-formalized law, patients would be authorized to possess no more than 2 ounces of cannabis per month and would not be permitted to grow their own marijuana or share it with other registered patients. Patients who possess unauthorized amounts or strains of marijuana will still be subject to arrest and criminal prosecution under state law. Several patient advocacy groups and lawmakers have criticized the proposed program as being unduly restrictive and, quote, not consistent with the intent of the legislature, end quote. The concurrent resolutions, if approved by the full legislature, would give state officials 30 days to revise the regulations. Quote, failure to publish proposed rules that are consistent with the intent of the legislature may result in the legislature passing a concurrent resolution to prohibit these proposed rules from taking effect in whole or in part, the resolutions state. For more information, please visit Normal New Jersey at normalnj.org or the Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey at cmmnj.org. And yes, every time we get a story from New Jersey, the No Garden State, it is an unfortunate predictor of where we're headed with legislature-supported medical marijuana laws. They are just going to get more and more restrictive as frightened legislators try to win over their opponents in the assembly by putting in all these restrictions to make sure that it doesn't turn out like California and Colorado. There's a story that I was reading just this week where a legislature was making that exact comparison as a reason for why they need to do further restrictions. This was in the state of Illinois where I read that one, but the Illinois politicians referring to California and Colorado. Some of these restrictions, of course, are ridiculous. No more than 10% THC in the plant, 3 authorized strains, that you could actually be busted for having an unauthorized strain of marijuana. Imagine how much crime lab time that's going to take up to not just determine whether something is cannabis, but to determine the exact genetic quantity of that cannabis. Oh boy, I know a whole bunch of rape kits will be sitting on the shelves while they process all those unauthorized strains of marijuana. The New Jersey legislature, we sure hope they go forward with this and block these onerous regulations from the Chris Christie administration and do something that fits with the intent of the people and the intent of the legislature and create a medical marijuana program that actually works for some people. Senate scheduled to vote next week on Obama's drug warrior nominee, Michelle Leonhardt. The National Journal reports that the United States Senate Judiciary Committee will decide next week on the nomination of Michelle Leonhardt to head the Drug Enforcement Administration. Normal, along with numerous other groups, have opposed this nomination, and we continue to urge the Senate to reject Ms. Leonhardt for this high-ranking federal position. After a 7-month wait, the Senate Judiciary Committee has set November 17th as the hearing date on the nomination of Michelle Leonhardt as Drug Enforcement Administration Chief. Groups advocating for medicinal marijuana have waged a spirited campaign to derail Leonhardt's confirmation. In a July letter to President Obama, several pro-marijuana groups and liberal organizations, such as Fire Dog Lake and the 10th Amendment Center, accused Leonhardt, a Bush administration holdover who is serving as DEA's acting administrator, of ignoring an October 2009 Justice Department directive urging federal authorities not to waste government time and resources, quote, on individuals whose actions are in clear and unambiguous compliance with existing state laws. President Obama offered a similar view while campaigning in 2008. Though the number of DEA raids on medicinal marijuana growers has dropped, the agency has carried out dozens since the directive was issued. The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws and other groups accused Leonhardt of continuing a policy she helped oversee while a top deputy under Bush. Leonhardt has also irked marijuana advocates by overruling a DEA law judge's ruling giving a University of Massachusetts professor, Lyle Craker, a license to grow marijuana for FDA-approved research. Critics noted that the ruling leaves intact a decades-old monopoly by the University of Mississippi as the country's only legal producer of marijuana for medical research. Senate Appropriations Committee ranking member Tad Cochran, Republican of Mississippi, has funneled millions of dollars in earmarks to the center, housed in a building that bears his name. Citing such concerns, groups opposed to Leonhardt's confirmation have launched letter-writing campaigns and online petitions calling for her nomination to be withdrawn or rejected and have won support in a series of sympathetic editorials this year. What the groups have not been able to do, however, is get the attention of the White House or the Senate. Michelle Leonhardt is a tragic mistake for DEA administrator, and it's a shame that she would continue on the same failed policies of the Bush administration. Worst shame that Obama would continue to have her. And in world news, the Saipan House votes to legalize marijuana. The U.S. island of Saipan, a U.S. territory in the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, has voted to taken a historic step, toward marijuana legalization. House Bill 1745 has passed in the House of Representatives there, making it the first marijuana legalization bill to pass in a legislative chamber in any U.S. territory. Sponsored by Representative Stanley Torres of the Independent Party, the bill would, quote, allow individuals 21 years or older to possess, cultivate, or transport marijuana for personal use, permit the regulation and taxation of the commercial production and sale to people 21 years and older, end quote, while barring pot possession on school grounds and use in the presence of minors. Although the bill has made it this far, a House committee on Monday recommended killing the bill. Representative Torres has told his supporters that even though he is disappointed that the committee decided to recommend killing his bill at this state, he believes that it still has the silent majority support. He plans on reintroducing the bill in the form of an initiative so the people of Saipan can vote for themselves. Torres's Legalization of Marijuana Act of 2010 is the first legislation of its kind ever to be introduced in the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands. Ooh, I sure hope they can get that passed. I can imagine the tourist traffic that would bring. A lot of fun to go to Saipan if marijuana were legal. We'll be back right after this with Herb Thrasher and your Toker Tune.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
It's that freedom, freedom. I'm free to do whatever.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday, our segment featuring the best rock, metal, punk, and jam band music, brought to you by Herb Thrasher at herbthrasher.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. Welcome back, everyone. 22 after the hour, we welcome our newest music editor, Herb Thrasher, to his first visit to the show. Welcome to the show, Herb.
Right on. Thanks, Ross. What's up, guys? Chat room, Stashers out there.
Having a good time, and we're looking forward to getting some real rock and roll on this show. I know we often talk about how in the marijuana community there's all the reggae festivals and all the jam bands and the hemp hip-hop and all that, but you're here to bring the rock, bring the hammer down. Tell us what you got today.
I'm ready to bring the rock, Russ. That's right, man. And, you know, let me say this real quick, you guys. If you got some songs out there, send them in. You know, we're always going to be looking for songs, and it's always not going to be one serious kind. Different kinds of rock, you know. All right, well, today we got the Sword, man. I hope you guys are ready. So one of the foundations of the metal revival of the past 10 years, Austin, Texas, the Sword have released two flawless slabs of vintage heaviness on Commando Records. Toured the world with Metallica. Yeah, that's right, guys, Metallica. And we're on the first bands to lock in the new legion of fans through Guitar Hero. Warped Riders is the Sword's first concept album, a science fiction maelstrom put to the storming, relentless riffage and pounding rhythms upon which the band has staked its reputation. It's also the most flat-out, supercharged, adrenaline-pumping work yet, a chrome-plated war machine that lords over the blackened sky. So today's Rockin' Friday tune is Trey Brujas. Trey Brujas, a grooving, riff-heavy song, is proof that the Sword is a force in the rock and metal world and plans to stay for quite a long time. Slated as the second song on the CD, Trey Brujas helps guide your mood towards the rock while introducing an epic science fiction concept of Warp Riders. The space and western roots allow for the song to feel as if ZZ Top and Carl Sagan could be near. So sit back, guys, and enjoy inhaling deeply of the sacred smoke. Horns up, guys. Sword.
The Sword with Tres Brujas. That's three witches in English. Thank you so much, Herb Thrasher, for bringing us the rock. We're right back after this.
Smoke of the prophecies of certain herbs growing wild.
song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
It's time for Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. Today, Friday, November 12th, is a special day in history. For on November 12, 1970, R. Keith Strupp founded the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. It's our 40th birthday today here at Normal, fighting for an end to adult marijuana prohibition. From the decriminalization that we pioneered in the 70s to the medical marijuana that pioneered through the 90s and the 2000s, we're now moving on, legalization all the way, and thank you so much, Keith Strupp, for founding Normal. On this weekend, Saturday, November 13th, the Northern Michigan Compassion Club is meeting at the Horizon Bookstore in Petoskey, Michigan. You can check more information about that at our calendar. And on Saturday, November 13th, the Oregon Normal Cardholders Meeting will be held at the Cannabis Cafe at 322 Southeast 82nd Avenue. These twice-monthly meetings are held for members who are also enrolled in the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program. At these meetings, you'll be able to pick up a marijuana seedling to begin your garden. Expert growers will answer your questions about growing. Executive staff will tell you about changes to the law and potential threats to the Medical Marijuana Act and help you get involved politically and help protect and expand your rights. It provides the opportunity for patients, caregivers, and growers to network and begin new relationships so that the spirit of sharing medicine without profit is maintained in our state. Check out Oregon Normal's cardholder meeting. More information available at Oregon Normal's website, ornorml.org. This Sunday, November 14th, the annual Denver 420 Rally Fall Fundraiser is taking place at Castleman's Venue on Walnut Street in Denver. This is Miguel Lopez's birthday bash as well, with music including COD featuring The Docha, XLMC, Medicine Man, DJ Rush, 420 All-Stars, and Man's Microphone. Booths and table space are available with speakers, raffles, prizes, and you. The annual April 20th 420 Rally for Denver, this is to raise money for one of the largest 420 smoke-ins ever held in the United States. Check out more information available at our website, normal.org/calendar.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch-long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, a.k.a. NORMAL, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORMAL in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORMAL, toll-free, 888-67-NORMAL, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORMAL, NORML.org.
In terms of legalization of drugs, I think that the battle, the war on drugs has been a utter failure.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure,
And I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize, our marijuana laws, The war on drugs has been a utter failure.
Normal Show Live, where we don't change our position on decriminalization in an election year.
support legalizing and taxing marijuana use.
I think it's time for a debate.
Normal Show Live.
And I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana and other drugs.
Marijuana Nation.
I saw him hanging there afterwards, a celebration party after the Mr. Olympia smoking a joint. Did he really smoke a joint? And did he, in fact, inhale?
Saying I'm in need of a change. I'm in need of a change. See, I used to get high.
Chong said that you and him used to smoke weed together.
He was right.
He was right?
We always had a good time. We know how to enjoy ourselves.
Nothing to lose. Now I can't get high. Can't get high.
Come on, Cohagan. You got what you want. Give this people air.
Days come to pass and the nights tend to last much longer than they should.
I'll be back.
Yeah, you should get high. The end of the day.
Since 1970, Normal has been fighting for the rights of all adults who use cannabis responsibly. Since 1974, High Times magazine has been the chronicle of the cannabis community. Every second Friday of the month, we bring that working relationship to the Normal Daily Audio Stash with our special guest, Senior Editor Dave Bienenstock, author of the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, for our exclusive monthly preview of this month's issue of High Times.
Welcome back, everyone. 34 after the hour, and I hold in my hands a landmark, the 420th issue of High Times magazine. And joining us to discuss this historic issue is our own David Bienenstock, the senior editor of High Times magazine. David, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure, Russ. How's it going?
I'm doing great, man. Did you ever think we'd see 420? Is this amazing or what?
Oh, man. Well, the magazine started a year before I was born, but I can't imagine that this is something they planned for. You know, it's a tremendous milestone.
Yeah, this is the...
Most magazines, of course, never make it close to 420 issues, and those that do really don't care, except us. We're definitely the first magazine to have a 420-issue commemorative issue.
Yeah, it's a beautiful issue, and all sorts of special stuff in the issue this month. It's the January 2011. Of course, I was struck immediately upon opening the very first part with the body painting. That was quite the nice picture. Thank you for that one. We like that. What's some of the fun stuff you got in this 420 issue for people to pick up on the newsstands?
Oh, man, well, we really tried to make it, on the one hand, a commemorative issue that people would want to save. It's got a giant 420 and a leaf on the cover. It's definitely a collector's edition, but it's got all the stuff that people should be expecting from a High Times. So this issue, we have everything from the history of Kush, really looking back at what's become kind of the premier strain, tracing that history all the way up to all the modern Kushes. And, you know, we have an interview with Melissa Etheridge down to Cloning Made Easy. So there's definitely a little something for everybody.
Yeah, I love seeing the Melissa Etheridge interview in there. Now, of course, this is probably an interview done before Prop 19 was, you know, decided at the election. But what were some of the things that Melissa had to say about marijuana and legalization that people should know about?
Well, I mean, she's definitely for legalization, and obviously she is herself a medical patient, a cancer survivor, and so somebody who wants this right for everybody and also recognizes this as something that really saved her own life. So she speaks very passionately about it and very personally about the issue.
Yeah, and also the article you mentioned about the Kush here, this is Danny Danko, has written his top 10 Kush strains, part of his High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, the book that's coming out soon, with Hindu Kush, it looks like, taking the top honors there. Was there any discussion amongst other staff members, or did Danny come up with this on his own? Did you guys come to an agreement on which were the best Kushes here?
Oh, man, well, you know, the great Kush debate goes on, and I know Dan well, and he would like to see this list at the start of a discussion, not the end of it, so he's always open to anyone's opinion at the end of the day. You know, he's the one who's got to put his name on the list, but, Dan loves a good discussion, and he would never put his opinion above anyone else's necessarily.
Right. You've got some good retrospective stuff here for the 420 issue celebration, and again, we're talking with Dave Bienenstock, the senior editor of High Times, living out on the West Coast now. Great story here, High Times with Bob Marley. Tell folks about this interview. Some great pictures in here too.
Oh man, I mean that's still sort of the most legendary cover after obviously 420 covers, and this is back in the 70s. It was really Bob Marley's first major magazine cover. He was still an emerging artist, and High Times was the magazine he wanted to be in, and you know the pictures probably show you why.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody who remembers pot from the 70s will remember pot from the 70s when they see the big pile sitting in front of Bob. You could probably spot a seed or two or five or 20 in there, but it's that great sativa like you will still find down in Jamaica to this day.
Absolutely. And, of course, we have all sorts of people who are offering their congratulations to High Times upon reaching the 420th issue milestone. I saw a number of ads in the paper, or in the magazine, full-page ads from some of your regular supporters that specifically thanked you for the 420. Did you see a huge jump in folks wanting to advertise for the 420 issue?
You'd have to ask the ad guys. It definitely looks to be a popular issue as far as that goes.
Yeah, sure does.
You know, we definitely got a lot of nice congratulations from our contributors and people like Jorge Cervantes, and a lot of the activists that we work with sent us in our letter section. So it's a great milestone, you know, and it's a very unique one. 37 years of publishing for any magazine, anybody in the publishing industry could tell you that's a real accomplishment. And that's something that we know is because of our readers, and we know is because of the people who pick up the magazine, and we're so grateful to them that we can have the jobs that we have and get information out there and continue to publish this magazine. So to the people who are our readers that listen to your show, you know, thank you so much. Sitting here right now doing my job with a smile on my face when the phone rings and it's Russ. So, you know, it doesn't get better than that.
I agree with you. And again, this is the 420th issue of High Times Magazine, the January 2011 issue. Just arrived in my mailbox today. Is this on the newsstands yet, or does it take a few days?
You know, those newsstand guys are sneaky. It's a competitive business. So, you know, there's always the date that it's supposed to go on the newsstand, but you know, if those guys manage to get their copies early somehow. Let me put it this way, you won't miss it if you see it. It's a very bold cover with a big 420 on the cover. It says collector's issue. Yeah. You'll find it once it gets to your local spot.
Yeah, I'm showing folks on the webcam here right now. I did have a question from the chat room wondering about your digital edition, the High Times Digital Edition, and whether that's available on PDF.
I know it's available on hightimes.com, and it's through sort of a digital magazine company. It's a really cool way, first of all, just to preview an issue. We're always putting about, you know, 10 or 15 really good pages from each issue up there that people can check out, and then they can buy the complete issue online. It's great if you live somewhere where it's hard to find High Times. It's great. Obviously, it's the greenest way to enjoy a High Times. And it's, like I said, I think the best thing about it is it's a great way to preview the issue. The specific question about PDF, I'm not a technical guy. I don't believe so, but go to hightimes.com and you'll see the digital edition right there.
Oh, excellent. And other stuff I'm picking up here from the magazine, some great congratulations and some essays and interviews with some of the leaders of the movement. Here we got Tommy Chong with his full-page interview here talking about High Times 420. back toward the back, we've got Keith Stropp with a long essay, Dennis Perrone, and some others. This is a wonderful issue, the 420th issue of High Times Magazine. I want to encourage everyone to pick this one up. This is definitely a collector's edition. Pick up two. Pick up one to put in the vaults, and pick up the other one for reading so that you can have a pristine copy over all these years. Now, David, I also wanted to make sure that we gave you some time to talk a little about the High Times Medical Marijuana Quarterly, and I suppose you probably have a new issue of that coming out pretty soon, right?
Oh, yeah. We just put it to bed, as they say in the publishing world, and so it'll be actually coming out and for sale in the next couple of weeks, and it's a really, I'm very excited about the whole project and about this issue. We have a look inside the Israeli medical marijuana program, which is just really making leaps and bounds right now. You know, I'm always an issue. I'm thinking already about the issue I'm working on now, so I have to make sure I get right what's coming up next. But we have a story about mothers, well, parents really, who are using medical marijuana to treat their developmentally disabled children. I think that these women are extremely brave, the ones who are coming forward. This is something that they've been on Good Morning America and 2020 talking about, and we really, you know, really sat down with these women and got the story of what's going on, and it's quite amazing. We have another look at another set of just the top, we're always trying to stay on what are the top medicinal strains. That's something our readers are always really interested in, particularly the ones who are able to go to a dispensary or get, basically, the more choice you have, the more you want to know about strains, because yeah, there is a big difference.
You know, that's something that we get when we do our question and answer sessions with Dr. Mitch Earlywine every Wednesday. That's a common question we get, is someone saying, I have X, which strain would work for that? Are you guys cataloging this and maybe going to be publishing some sort of guide to strains so people can know what works best for which conditions?
Well, actually, my colleague Danny Danko, and I don't want to steal his thunder, as they say, but he has a new strain guidebook that's going to be coming out in the next couple months. I've seen advanced copy of it. It's really a great book. It's designed to be sort of a field guide, so it's a book you can keep in your pocket, you can bring with you to a dispensary or a grow room, or just you know, leave out on the coffee table. And he takes it. He really breaks down the lineage of all these strains. The effects, the medical effects. So that's, I think it's going to be a pretty popular book, and I'm very excited about it coming out. And I know Dan can, I'm sure, tell you a lot more about it next time he's on the show.
Excellent. And, of course, people know to pick up High Times. There's numerous newsstands, booksellers, and, of course, hightimes.com, where people can get that magazine. For the High Times Medical Marijuana Quarterly, is there a different website or different places they need to go to pick up the mag?
Sure. I would say bookstores are still your best bet, although the distribution is gaining with every issue. But I would also say if you go somewhere and they have High Times and they don't have High Times Medical Marijuana Quarterly, just ask for it. And most places, you know, may not even really know it's available to them yet. You know, we are still growing the circulation with each issue. So chain bookstores, kind of like, you know, I'm not a big chain guy, but that's your best bet. Give them a call, ask them if they have it, but go to your regular retailer and just ask for it by name, as they say. And, you know, I would appreciate that personally.
All right. Please do that. Get the High Times Medical Marijuana Quarterly, and, of course, High Times Magazine issue number 420. Thanks for being the voice, the chronicle, I should say, of the marijuana nation. You know, for all these long years, people have turned to High Times for the unvarnished truth about marijuana and the help they need in cultivating marijuana. You've done the world a fantastic service and probably done more to help end prohibition than any activists out there just by promoting our culture and supporting it. So thank you so much, High Times Magazine, and you specifically, Dave, for everything you're doing.
Well, and thank you, Russ. And just as far as that goes, one of the things that makes me happiest here is I speak to so many activists like yourself, everyone at Normal, and across the board who say, you know, I started reading High Times when I was younger, and it inspired me. And I really see that as our role to inspire and inform activists like yourself. And together we're gonna make it happen.
We're gonna make it happen. Thanks so much, Dave, being in stock. We'll talk to you next month.
All right, take care, Russ.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, everybody. Got to talk a little bit about a story that I covered in the news today having to do with the potential election of Steve Cooley as the Attorney General for the state of California. The race is still close. It's still within 20,000 votes, but Cooley is ahead. And this will likely come down to a long, long count over the next couple of weeks and maybe even a recount. But at this moment, it looks as though Steve Cooley will be the next Attorney General for the state of California. 20,000 votes out of about 8.6 million votes cast. Now, as I was looking at this story this morning and, you know, surfing around the blogosphere, I found one of my favorite bloggers, Scott Morgan at stopthedrugwar.org. And at stopthedrugwar.org, he had this very provocative post where he points out that he was in Oaksterdam for Election Day. Now, I was there too at Oaksterdam. I was upstairs manning our live streaming coverage. Cannabis Curing managed to get downstairs, as well as Nate Bradley from Leap and a few other Prop 19 supporters were able to be downstairs on the street level when they encountered some No on Prop 19 protesters that were all wearing, I'll read to you from Scott's blog. He says, quote, "On November 2nd, I was walking through Oaksterdam with Steve Silverman when we happened to cross a group of misguided young pot grower types clad in No on 19 t-shirts, flyering the neighborhood with anti-legalization propaganda. Quote, 'Are you seriously out here defending marijuana prohibition?' end quote," Steve asked, to which their spokesman replied, quote, "I like things the way they are now," end quote. I suggested that if he really cares about medical marijuana, maybe he should stop worrying about Prop 19 and put his time and energy into defeating Steve Cooley. His response was classic, quote, "Who the hell is Steve Cooley?" end quote. Now, of course, Steve Cooley, as we all know, is currently the District Attorney of Los Angeles County and a fervent opponent of medical marijuana. As we told you back in 2009 when he issued his infamous 100% illegal quote regarding dispensaries, this is the story from 2009 in the LA Times. Los Angeles County District Attorney Steve Cooley said Thursday he will prosecute medical marijuana dispensaries for over-the-counter sales, targeting a practice that has become commonplace under an initiative approved by California voters more than a decade ago. That would be Prop 215. And his quote, "The vast, vast, vast majority, about 100% of dispensaries in Los Angeles County and the city are operating illegally. They are dealing marijuana illegally, according to our theory," he said. "The time is right to deal with this problem," end quote. Cooley and Los Angeles City Attorney Carmen Trutanich recently concluded that state law bars sales of medical marijuana, an opinion that could spark a renewed effort by law enforcement across the state to rein in the use of marijuana. It comes as polls show a majority of state voters back legalization of marijuana and supporters are working to place the issue on the ballot next year. That, of course, would be Prop 19, which just lost with 46%. Quote, "We have our strategy and we think we are on good legal ground," end quote, Cooley said. Now, this is from LA Times, October of 2009, and now we're looking in November of 2010 that Cooley's strategy and his good legal ground may just become the law of the land in California. Now, we reiterated Cooley's positions in our analysis by our deputy director, Paul Armentano. And then my own rants, you can go back and watch the videotape of my rants against people like the Stoners Against Legalization that were named BZ420, the Canny Bus delivery system in the Bay Area, and J. Craig Canada, who writes for The Examiner. In all of those rants, I warned them about Steve Cooley and what danger Steve Cooley would provide to the Prop 215 patients out there. And of course, we also had our news coverage of Cooley's announcement to run for Attorney General when we warned marijuana consumers what a nightmare he would be. And the California Marijuana Report, which we play here on the Normal Daily Audio Stash blog and the Normal Show Live, had numerous commentaries on the possibility of Cooley as Attorney General, including a dire warning from movement icon Ed Rosenthal, who named him the Drug War Criminal of the Week. So it's not as if people weren't warned about Steve Cooley. In fact, Americans for Safe Access, the nonprofit that's dedicated solely to medical marijuana rights, tried to alert patients to the dangers of Attorney General Cooley. They started a Not Cooley campaign in September and had the NotCooley.com website to explain his dangerous anti-Prop 215 legal opinions. But other than that, other than us trying to sound the alarm, all the oxygen in the room was sucked up by the pro and anti-Prop 19 rhetoric. The Stoners Against Legalization blogs, numerous of them, Dragonfly De La Luz's blog, J. Craig Canada, Stop19.com, etc., none of these blogs made much of an effort to warn people about Steve Cooley, instead spending all their time and ammunition trying to defeat legalization. But Scott Morgan from Drug War Chronicle concluded the following, quote, "The great tragedy here is that the attorney general race was so unbelievably close that the pro-pot anti-legalization crowd could have potentially affected the outcome by targeting Cooley instead of spending the last several months espousing tortured misinterpretations of Prop 19. Now, personally, I don't believe that the Stoners Against Legalization seriously impacted Prop 19's chances because, I mean, it ended up with a gap of 8%, and that's way too big a gap to attribute to some fringe movement bloggers and amateur agitators. However, I do believe that they seriously impacted the demographic of young pot aficionados who never vote but could have been motivated to turn out for pot legalization. And these young voters, being primarily Democratic voters, probably impacted Kamala Harris's chances. Now, let's take a look at the CNN exit polling. According to CNN exit polls, younger people supported Prop 19 and Democratic candidates. When we look at the age group 18 to 29, voters under the age of 30, who made up 12% of the electorate, 59% of them supported Prop 19, 59% of them supported Jerry Brown, the Democrat for governor, and 62% supported Barbara Boxer, the Democrat for senator. So we have large support, 60% support among people under 30 for the Prop 19 and the Democratic candidates that were running. Now, I couldn't find any exit poll data for the attorney general race, but I think it's probably safe to say the 18 to 29 vote would have tilted toward Kamala Harris. I did find some data showing me that Prop 19 came in third of the reasons why people under 40 turned out to vote, and I did find out that youth turnout decreased by a million voters compared to the last midterm election in 2006. Only one in five voters under the age of 30 in California voted in this last election, about 20%. When marijuana legalization and the latest Gallup polls nationwide show 3 out of 5 people under the age of 30 support it. And we got to figure that's nationwide, right? So California, the number of people under the age of 30 who support legalization must higher. So the tragedy, it seems, is not that the no on Prop 19 fifth columnists could have put their energies into defeating Steve Cooley. It is that they may have depressed the youth turnout that would otherwise have been excited about Prop 19, losing the margin of votes that could have elected Kamala Harris. Now, I know it's impossible to measure why certain people don't show up and don't vote, because, of course, exit polls, by definition, only register the opinions of people who did vote, right? But let's suppose that those million voters that showed up in 2006 but didn't show up in 2010, those young voters under the age of 30, the million of them that didn't show up, let's just suppose that those million voters, if they did show up, might have broken for Harris 51% to 49%. If that's true, that's a plus 20,000 vote margin for Harris, which is just about what she's trailing by now. Now, if those million voters under the age of 30 voted for Harris like they voted for other Democrats like Jerry Brown or Barbara Boxer, you know, about 59-60% support, the margin would be about plus 180,000 votes for Kamala Harris, and she'd be leading Cooley by about 2% of the vote right now. So, the Stoners Against Legalization, who warned that Prop 19 would lead to the raiding and closing down of Prop 215 dispensaries, may have helped elect the Attorney General, who has vowed to raid and close down dispensaries. And the sad irony here is the language that they opposed on the theory that it would allow pot-hating cities to end marijuana dispensaries was the language that would have given pot-tolerant cities the power to protect dispensaries from Steve Cooley. That's our radical rant for today, and you can check all those numbers and links to the exit polls that I just referenced. They're up on the blog at stash.normal.org. It's my latest post entitled, Did Stoners Against Legalization Help Elect Steve Cooley? I'd like to get your opinions on this in our second hour. Our phone number is 971-533-7111. Did the Stoners Against Legalization cost the Attorney General race for Kamala Harris? Did it lead to us ending up with Steve Cooley as the Attorney General? I'd like to hear your opinions on that as we go into hour two. For those of you listening to us on the podcast, thanks for joining us here for hour one, the Normal Daily Audio Stash. You can always hear our live podcast and hour two at 1 p.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday, right here at live.normal.org. For Cannabis Carrie and Ganja John and everyone here at the Normal Foundation, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. Take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try.